Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast. This podcast features a session from the EDUCAUSE 2008 annual conference. You can find more podcasts like this by visiting www.educause.edu/podcasts or subscribe to our iTunes feed by searching for EDUCAUSE. This podcast is sponsored by Real Networks and features a session from the EDUCAUSE 2008 annual conference. Participants include Stephen Ackerman, professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and Kathleen Christoff, director of academic technology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. The session is entitled GameQuest, Creating an Education Game Program for Higher Ed.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to the first session of the day. My name is Dave Antonacci. I'm at the University of Kansas Medical Center. I'm director of our Teaching and Learning Technologies program and the convener for this session. Was looking through the EDUCAUSE program, said, well, what would I like to convene? And saw this one, said, wow, we get to go on an adventure and have a journey and play games. But who scheduled it at 8 o'clock in the morning? But decided to do it anyway because it did sound like a very interesting presentation. Our speakers today are Steve Ackerman, and Steve is professor in atmospheric and oceanic sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's also the director of Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies. He's a longtime user of technologies in teaching, and he chairs the Faculty Advisory Committee of the UW-Madison Engage Program in the Department of Academic Technology. Our other speaker is Kathleen Christoff. She's Director of Division of Information Technology, Academic Technology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and she holds overall responsibility for learning technology, workforce technology skills and development, and library instructional and research applications. She's been involved in many areas of EDUCAUSE, previously being on the board, and she currently helped develop and currently co-directs the EDUCAUSE Learning Technology Leadership Institute. So I want to welcome them.
Thanks, Dave. You are exactly right. This is a quest. This is a game. We are going to practice what we preach in this session this morning. And so you'll have very little direct, and it's not going to work very. We just learned we are being recorded, but I'll tell you, this is totally interactive, so it's going to be a very odd one to listen to later if you try to pick up on it. But our goal this morning is, for those of you at institutions, thinking about how do games fit your teaching and learning programs, or you've heard a lot about games and you're not quite sure where to start with those. We're going to go through a game on a quest for what we've done, showing you what we've done at University of Wisconsin-Madison in putting together, spending a fair amount of resource over the last couple years on creating a games and simulation program. And we hope it will be a lot of fun for you. We don't really have a formula or recipe, but in true EDUCAUSE fashion, what we'd like to do is just share experiences and learn from you. And hopefully you can learn a little bit by our experiences, are both good and bad. We will expose what worked and what didn't work. You'll discover it, I guess. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you will discover it this morning. And what we're doing is applying a game quest metaphor in this game. We'll tell you a little bit more about that in a couple minutes. We very much hope it will be fun. We have tested this before with other audiences, and it has been fun there. So I will guarantee that you will not fall asleep, even though it's early in the morning. We're going to have a lot of interaction. So basically, this is just a quick overview. A lot of what we know in our teaching and learning environments is quite expository, linear, didactic, what I'm trying not to do very much this morning right now. We're going to show how games can take us to the other end of the spectrum and take us into our experiential learning realm, where it's very immersive and interactive and informal and actually pretty unpredictable. And With games and simulations, the experience is primary and the explanation is secondary. So there's very little that Steve or I are going to tell you this morning. Rather, what we're going to do is guide you through an experience and try to help you see what you're learning within that experience.
So Kathy and I are obviously going to be tag teaming. And so given that I'm a faculty, I have to tell you something. So I'm going to tell you these kind of definitions that we're going to be dealing with so you can get you into the mood of the game in here. The first is, so we talk about simulation in games a lot, and that's what our program was about. And so we were using these very simple, quick definitions of a simulation as an activity that contains a model of a natural process. So in the atmospheric sciences and weather, we do this all the time. You know, we give our students a model, they change something, what's the output? So they kind of stand on the outside and look in on what they do and how that affects the system. Whereas in a game, it's more of a contrived rule-based activity where they do change things, but instead of being on the outside looking in, they're actually inside that environment. And so as they change things around, it affects them as well. Whereas in a simulation, they're really not affected by the changes that they implement. And so a sim game is a simulation that integrates these game-like features in terms of having competition, having rules, having rewards, and at the same time trying to teach something about a natural or a physical process. And so people have been calling this a sim game when you combine the two of them together. Personally, I like the name Gameulation better. We're going to put it together. Let's put the fun part first. So you're going to see my slides. I've changed them a little bit and call them Gameulations. So as Kathy was saying, this whole simulation game space or Gameulation space, what we're trying to do is we're trying to teach these four people, let's say, about something, like how do you operate a game? How would you get a program going? And the idea is that if you think of this two-dimensional space here as a learning space, how the four of us are going to get to the end of that learning space is going to be totally different paths, right? They're not going to be linear structures. And in the end, we're going to come out, and even though, you know, the thing I like about this is that it challenges us because you can see it looks like Carol ends up on top. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I end up on top. All right, in terms of, yeah, you might look at that as a learning structure in terms of height, but that's not what it's about. It's the fact that we got to the end point. That's what's important. And for each one of us, we're going to take it a little bit differently in terms of how we get there.
Okay, so this is just an outline of the rubric that we used, or the framework that we used in constructing the game. It's actually taken from Joseph Campbell. You may have heard of him through The Power of Myth and many other pieces. But what he says is that any kind of quest involves these four components. The call to adventure, it's laying out where we're starting, what we're doing. We added the preparation phase. After all, we are in higher ed. We have to be very systematic about things. And then it involves the road of trials, and that's primarily what we're going to be doing today. We're going to be presenting a quest. We're going to be taking you through a road of trials. And then we achieve the boon. We're at the end, and we have to return to the ordinary world. So we've used this framework to construct the game that we're going to do today.
And we're ready. You ready to play? No, you're not ready to play yet, because we haven't given you the rules or the roles or anything. So your roles are to be program planners of a fictitious campus, right? So imagine that you're on a campus, an imaginary campus, and you're a program planner, and you're going to work with a team. You're going to work with a team of three people, right? So we're going to start looking around to see who you're going to work with, and you're going to decide on the strategies and the assets of developing this program. And your goals are to do the following. You want to create a program that's going to include campus community, motivate faculty, support staff, and have funding. So this is a game. This is a pretend, right? This is not real. Remember, at the end, you return to the reality at the very end. So this is the beginning. All right, so in order to get going here, we want you to break off into groups of three. So in a moment, we're going to have you do that. As you do that, we're going to be handing out these packets. When you get this packet, just put it down. Do not open it. Okay, that would be cheating. and we're not going to cheat in this game. All right, so form into groups of three, quickly introduce yourselves, and in the process, after you do a very quick introduction, like your name and where you're from, identify three elements that would be essential for starting a campus simulation games learning program.
And as soon as you have your group of three, raise your hand, and then Linda and Kathy will give you a packet.
And we're going to give you 5 minutes.
Where's the mic? Or where's the
The mic is out here, yeah. I think the mic is there.
So we can just probably...
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Did you guys get a packet? I'm going to throw it to you, all right? You ready? You guys got a packet? Oh, okay, well, good. You don't need to... Don't open it. So remember, introduce yourselves really quickly and then identify three elements that would be essential for starting a campus program. And I'm going to be walking down with this wire. Do you guys get a packet? Do you guys get a packet? I'm going to take this off. I'm going to take this off. So that's the school bell that tells you to stop. So if you were watching the time, oh, it's still up. I was supposed to start, get rid of that so you don't. I cut you short a little bit, but that's okay because I think you were all on the right phrase. All right, so now, here's the rules. Do not begin until you're told, okay? So don't open those packages. The card deck that we have, when you open it up, there's going to be a series of cards in there. And that card deck represents the assets and the strategies for developing a campus simulation games for learning program. All right, so you're going to be playing with those cards. Now you have in your mind what's going to make a good program. Now we're going to see if you're going to be able to do it. So you're going to work as a team to construct a program. Each member is going to be contributing a certain number of cards per turn. All right, so each one's going to be doing some cards in a turn. Do not look at the cards in the deck, but you can draw from the deck when you're told to draw from the deck. Also, after you distribute the cards, you can look at everybody else's cards. You can share open-handed. It's an open-hand game. You're just not allowed to exchange cards. All right, so you're stuck with the ones you have. All right? All so far pretty simple. It's a simple rule game. So your goal, again, is to decide upon and select a program that has the core assets and strategies for a games and simulation programs on campus. And you're only allowed to be using the cards that you're dealt. So what do? You open the envelope and place the deck face down on a flat surface on the table. So you can open it now, right? You can now open the deck. And each member draws 5 cards. You might want to shuffle it up. I think we've already shuffled them up, but just to be sure, give them a quick shuffle, and then deal out 5 cards to each person. So each person in your group gets 5 cards.
They're not shuffled.
So they're not shuffled, so do shuffle them up. Sorry about that. Make sure you shuffle them up. All right, and while you're shuffling them and you dig them out, what you're going to be doing is playing these cards, and as you place these cards down on the table, that's going to be your program, okay? So you're going to be adding cards to develop the assets of your program. And the way you're going to first do that after everybody gets 5 cards is that everybody takes 2 cards from their hand and places it into the program, all right? So which means there are going to be 6 cards that are going to represent the major assets, strategies, features of your program.
10 minutes.
And you're going to have 10 minutes to do that. And Kathy and I will be walking around in case any questions come up. And again, you can look at each other's cards, you bet. You just can't exchange. But you can't look at what's left in the deck. Yes. Yeah, yep. You're a team, so you can discuss
cards. If somebody wants to play a card and you don't agree, you can argue with them. Yeah, you just keep playing. Just a note again, everybody has the same packet and there aren't duplicate cards. They're a little bit different. All right, I gave you only 7 minutes, but you're so far advanced than in Wisconsin, so.
Okay. So a few people asked, well, what happens next? What usually happens next in real life, right? Something intervenes with the best laid plans. So now we're going to enter the road of trials. And the first trial that you're facing is brain drain. Your most influential faculty member is recruited away by another university. This is the one of the people you're basing your program on. What's the effect? You lose your most influential faculty member card if you have one. Anyone have one out there? Oh, several do. You lose that card unless you have an established research group. And you got that? Anyone have the established research group? Okay. A few.
Yes. Only applies if the card is down and played.
Yeah, only the six cards. This applies to the current six cards that you have down. You're going to lose your influential faculty member unless you have an established research group. Do you see the relationship there? We're not going to spend a lot of time asking you these kinds of questions, but please do. There is a logical relationship between these two.
How many people lost a card?
Wow.
That's what we get
for getting faculty. That's right. You should just dump the faculty anyway.
Yeah, why a faculty? What do we need faculty for? Okay. So.
All right, but there's hope. It's not
there's
yet.
Hope. There's hope. Wait a minute. Do we really?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. And that's not the end of it. The other thing is that your project timeline is taking longer than anticipated. So you're going to lose two funding cards and one community card unless you've got a defined development process. Now, I saw that development process card out there in a few groups. Who's losing cards on this one? Question.
What was the question again? Yes. Oh, no, yeah, so it's a sequential thing. So you would lose the community, but you would still keep the faculty from the first round. Yes, good point. Yeah, if you didn't understand that, then don't worry about it. He actually picked up an intricacy of the game rule that we hadn't thought about.
Do you want them to be exactly the same?
Oh, no, the cards don't have to be exact. The ones you're taking away don't have to be exactly the same. So, yeah, you're taking away two funding and a community card unless you have a strategy card that says defined development process.
But that strategy card does have to be the defined development process strategy card, not just any strategy card.
You lose that one. Yep. Other questions? Right. Can you see how this is happening? I mean, this is how real life goes. You put together this program you think is great, and then wham, 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 you're getting hit with things that are influencing your program. And I don't think we're done.
Okay. But, you know, at the same time, sometimes good things happen, right?
Yes.
You get a little recovery, something comes to light. So let's recover a little bit here. Each member draws two more cards from the deck. So that's the deck that you've got face down thus far.
So not the cards you discarded from the other deck.
And what we're going to ask you to do here is re-strategize. Look at your program again, the cards you've laid down on the table, and you will have varying numbers on the table at this point. And each person can contribute one card. So you're going to add three more cards to the deck. I think we have one group of four in the back, which will get four. The question about how many on the table is variable because it depends on how many you lost. Maximum would be nine. If you lost no cards, you'll have nine. Whoa.
All right, so everybody got a nice successful program going? All right, now that you think so. All right, we're going to start moving quicker because now you're getting a sense of the game and how to play and what the cards are out there. So we can have a little bit of time at the end to talk about what you came up with. So what happens next?
What happens next? Another bad thing. Well, no, no, good thing. So we have an unexpected windfall. You've got community excitement. I know, how many people have community cards out? I think they're the red ones. You do. Okay, good. So the excitement has spread to the upper management, and you get another card. So please draw one card from the program deck, just one for the whole team, and put it right onto your program. Okay? Did you get good ones? Money? Somebody got more money? Somebody got developers with no money to pay. seems like real life, doesn't it? Okay, so next one. But of course, it's followed by bad news. You have learned that instructional designers are poor educational game designers and don't know it, worse yet. So watch it, yeah. So what are we going to do about that? The effect is you're going to lose one community and one funding card unless you have a Games and Sims research lab or game developers. Or if you have one of those, you get to keep the two cards. Any questions about that? Okay. Everybody clear on that? Okay. And then we are going to recover again. Okay, so each member, again, draw one card from the deck. Everyone should at this point then have five cards in your hand. Does that seem to match what you have? Five cards in each of your hands. And then do the same thing. Each member of the team contributes one card from your hand. So you're going to end up with four in your hand and a variable number on the table. Three minutes. This is 3 minutes. Okay, we're told we have 10 minutes left, and we do want to have some time to summarize here, so we're going to hop right through the next couple steps. Your final trial is another brain drain of a different nature. So this time your staff members are called away to work on a higher priority project. And the effect is you lose two staff cards, unless You've got a campus staff network. Yeah? You got some? Okay. So how many people lost on this one, lost cards? Okay. And how many people would have lost cards but had the campus staff network? Wow. Okay. You are getting it. Okay, and then again in our final set of trials here, one more. Some of the projects are poorly designed and do not enhance the learning process. So, sell them. In this one, you're going to lose one faculty and one community card unless you've done usability testing. Okay, get your cards sorted out here. Okay, so now you have programs in front of you. This is the end of this road of trials. We're going to try to bring it back here. So let us call on a few teams to tell us, do you have a successful program? I'd like to hear maybe from one team that does have and another team that doesn't. I mean, we learn by ones that don't. Okay, we have a volunteer right up here.
Where's that
right
first volunteer?
To your left, right over here.
All right, good. All right, so you only have like 30 seconds, though. So.
We didn't lose any cards. What? Nope, not a single card. He just ruined our program. Do you want me to read the cards or no? Do you want me
just
to read the winning?
I
think we're in good shape. We have funding, we have community backup, we have staff, and we have several strategies up our sleeve, so I think we're fine.
They have faculty too, I heard.
Thanks.
How about someone who really got hit hard and ended up with a program that you can see has something lacking? Can you tell us about that? At the back.
All right, I'm going to see if this works all the way back there. It just might.
Far,
so good.
Look at
all
that.
All right, so here's a program that might not have worked so well.
Okay.
We lost all of our staff.
Uh-oh. No staff, okay.
No staff, yeah, it wouldn't.
Wouldn't work so well.
Is anybody missing anything, like no funding or no faculty, besides a group that has no staff?
Over
no
here.
Faculty. Do you think you'll work? Probably quite well.
Well, maybe we should do away with students.
Staff, right,
then,
yeah.
Too.
So let's so make a quick comment about you or why you think it's successful, even though you have no faculty.
Staff, we got two cards of funding and community events and good strategy. So, yeah.
So they got a great program, just nobody to use it.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what did you do well as you went through this process. What did you see happening in your team? Collaboration, I heard.
Is somebody going to make a quick comment?
Well, we started counting cards. We figured
you started counting cards?
We figured it was really unlikely that you were going to repeat any cards, so we started making more tactical choices relevant to our environment. So.
Oh, so you were choosing the cards that you had seen already used in the trials. Is that what you're saying?
No, actually, we were not choosing them. We were more playing defense.
Yeah. Defense. Oh, yeah. I see. Okay.
So it's interesting because in my mind, I'm thinking they're starting to play the game,
mm-hmm.
right? Trying to win the game. But in reality, this kind of reflects what happens on campus as well. If you get screwed, if you get a negative thing by your provost, you often will assume down the road that either that same thing's going to happen later or it's not. So it does kind of reflect what the strategies are when you develop a program. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Other comments of what you were doing?
We started going with a lot of staff because we figured you would say that at the end we didn't have time to program it.
So they strategized by having a lot of staff, figuring we wouldn't.
You figured we weren't going to get through it, and
yeah.
So you were just preparing yourselves for that. Oh.
And one more.
When you said the first step was to identify three elements, and we were harping on the details, but. But as we got together as a team and figured out what was to happen next, then we started to think big picture.
So, good.
Which was important.
Good, good, good. Great observation. Okay, and what would you do differently next time? So you told us a little bit about how as you got into the game, you decided how you were going to approach it. If you were to play this again, which actually we had prepared to do a second round and knew we couldn't in this time period, what would you do differently the next time around as a team?
Oh, you have one comment here.
Cheat.
Cheat!
Cheat! Again, another reflection of what we actually do on campus, right? We kind of, all right, that one program didn't work. We learned something, so now let's cheat and anticipate what's going to happen. Okay. By the way, we got a question here. Yep.
I guess one thing I'm moving more towards is game strategy as opposed to good strategy for developing the program, which worries me. I'm looking for ways to win the game as opposed to ways to develop a good program. And
those are Yeah. So the issue is, and then we'll wrap it up mm-hmm. in here, is that this is one of the issues about when you're using a simulation or a game to teach something. So we're not talking about the philosophy of it, but what you have to watch out for when you use a game in learning is that when people play a game, they play to win. So they learn the rules of the game. And that's kind of what I hear you saying. But it's the same thing when you're developing a program, right? You learn the rules of the university or the college that you're embedded in. So there is no right answer, by the way, as you might imagine, with regard to this game. But
so a few things about what we discovered as we've been going through these programs is that we do need a mix of the cards. And so I think you've already discovered. You'll see that they're color-coded. We intentionally didn't tell you why they were color-coded. But essentially, you need a little bit of everything in order to make a successful program. These are a few examples of the things that we've put into our program to try to make it successful. And you will, by the way, all of the assets, the events, the statements on the cards are real. Those are actually our program over the last yep. couple years as we put it together.
As well as the trials and tribulations.
As well as the trials and tribulations, yes. You know, like discovering instructional designers are not necessarily good game designers, which, you know, we may have instructional designers in the room, and we'd be happy to talk with you about that. Some of them were really tough discoveries. We have a lot more information available, including a way to get a copy of these cards if you would like to take this back. We also have a fair number of additional card decks here, and if you do want to take it back to your institution and use it, we've got the Road of Trials in separate decks, so you can take each of those. Also, as with all EDUCAUSE presentations, we will upload this one, so you can go through it and just use the PowerPoint if you'd like. And on this website, you'll be able to print more decks of cards or change them if you'd like. So we've had a great time with you today. We want to just say this. We have a handout also at the back that shows some of the games and simulations we've been working on at University of Wisconsin-Madison. This is a brief list of them. And I want to really thank all of our staff members back home because Steve and I are the get to do the fun stuff, but they spent many hours in a room developing this game so that we could take an interesting conference session to you. So thank you very much for coming.
This EDUCAUSE 2008 Annual Conference podcast is sponsored by Real Networks. Real Networks enables digital delivery of distance learning coursework, athletic events, and more to students anywhere. Information at realnetworks.com.